Are you running on empty?
Good morning and welcome. You're listening to The Computer Guys. I'm Dave.
And I'm Cam.
And we are The Computer Guys from Macatawa Technologies, here for the next 30 minutes to answer all your computer and computer-related questions. Kevin has taken the week off this week. He'll be back probably next week. Give us a call, 395-1450. Our phone lines are open, and we'd love to help you out this morning. If you got a question about your computer technology, like we said, you subscribe maybe to that $12.99 DSL, the super low price. Give us a call, or if you're a little phone shy, don't want to be on the radio, email computerguys@whtc.com. We'll be checking that today. We have a couple from last week that we could probably go ahead and get to.
Want to go ahead and do that?
Yeah, we could take a look at those in a minute. I got to sort them out a minute here, Cam. Let's go ahead and start with some news of the week. Last week, we talked about, you were gone, Kevin and I talked about, I don't know if you heard, all those different versions of Windows Vista.
All right, I know nothing about it.
Oh, there's going to be all kinds of them. So that's one of the things that we talked about last week. We also mentioned that now if we have some of our listeners have actually called in or emailed to us, so we know that they're listening to our podcasts.
Oh, wow.
And that's kind of cool. I just, the one thing I wish, I don't know if Josh can figure this out, but how many people actually are subscribing to it?
I think maybe he can.
You're on 16.
Wow, that's pretty cool.
All right, so you have my four computers.
Cam's got it subscribed 11 times.
That's right.
Then we have five listeners.
Yep.
Oh, that's pretty cool. Well, let's go ahead and it's not the easiest thing to figure out either, though. That's the problem. Let's go ahead and take this phone call. Good morning, John. You're on with The Computer Guys.
Good morning, Dave. I'm wondering if there's a way I can save my favorites list to disk.
There is. What operating system are you running?
Millennium, unfortunately.
Millennium.
I believe it's in a...
is it just in the Windows folder?
You do a search for favorites.
Well, you go under Start.
Well, if you open up My Computer and then you go to the C drive, the hard drive...
Let me do that just a minute.
And it's different. I know exactly how to do it on Windows XP or 2000.
Yeah. It's either in Windows...
And you open up the C drive, and you go to the Windows folder.
Go to the Windows folder?
Uh-huh. And look for a folder called Favorites in there.
Oh. Okay.
And there it just stores all the Internet Explorer favorites right in there. Now, I'm pretty sure that's where it stores it in Windows Millennium Edition.
Okay.
If that doesn't work, if you could give us a call during the week, we could figure it out. I know it's a little more complicated than an XP. I just can't remember exactly where it is in Millennium.
Okay.
Do you see it there?
This computer is so slow, and I clicked on My Computer when you first said it, and it's still working, bringing that up.
All right. Well, I'll take a look for that.
Also, you could just search for favorites and use the Millennium search feature kind of by the control panel in the Start menu.
Yeah, that I did have on display, and I switched over to My Computer, but so far it still isn't bringing it up.
Okay, well, let us know if just remember, go to the C drive and then to Windows and look for the folder called Favorites.
Okay.
I think that's where it is, so let us know if that doesn't work.
Okay.
All right.
All right, Dave. Thank you.
Thanks. See you, John.
Bye.
Hopefully that'll get that taken care of. I can tell you in Windows XP, if you wanted to back it up, you go to the C drive, Documents and Settings, pick your name. So, for instance, I'm Dave, so my user account would probably be called Dave. Open that up, and then go ahead and right inside there, it should be just right inside there. So,
yep.
It's been a while on Millennium Edition. Okay, I'm surprised.
I think you're right. I don't think they build in separate user accounts.
Well, I think that you can. I remember the first time my brother had, he had Windows 98, and somebody had, and when Windows XP, it's really easy to set up multiple users.
Right.
But on Windows 98, he had one of his fraternity brothers came in, and I remember this, set up a second user account, multiple users, and he couldn't grasp it. He goes, I don't understand. He said, there's this second account on my computer that just doesn't make any sense. So it was pretty funny. He just couldn't quite understand that.
Is that your brother or his fraternity friend?
No, it's my brother. Somebody had put that on there, and he didn't know why or how or it how. Got there. Yeah. Well, Cam, we have a couple of news stories this week. Google, of course, we've got some news about them, and Microsoft is in the news again. I know you have one. Microsoft is releasing a new search engine. Well, they're really trying hard these days to compete against Yahoo and MSN. Those are basically the top three search engines.
It's the latest attempt by Microsoft to get into the game that Google and Yahoo have already been playing for a while. The software giant is launching an updated internet search engine. Microsoft says it will help computer users find information faster, see it easier, and organize it better. The Windows Live search site makes its debut in beta or test form today, and the company is involved in a strategic shift that will see the software firm lean more heavily on internet-based software and services than on a boxed version of software that made it a major player in the computer world.
Yep, and so you've just basically got Microsoft who says, well, you know, while we, you know, for instance, in Windows XP, if you do a search on your computer, it can take a long time. I mean, you could be waiting 10 minutes. And it basically for me, if it doesn't find it in the first 2 minutes, I just stop it.
Okay, so this is a...
But this isn't on your computer. This is a web search engine, but I'm just saying this is just another part of how they're really trying to get back into the search engine market.
Because they're trying to build in more of the, say, the Apple feature.
Well, with Windows Vista, they're going to have a fast search engine.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, basically, in Windows Vista, if you do a search on your computer, and search boxes will be a lot more prominent in Windows Vista. They're going to be on the top of a toolbar, for instance. So when you type in the name of a song that you can't remember where it is, it'll instantly pull it up.
Right.
Just like with a search engine. You go to Google, and Google doesn't just sit there and go, hold on a second here, we're searching the internet for you. It already has that indexed, and that's why it's so fast. And that's why Windows XP is such a slow search engine built within the computer.
So Vista's going to almost index it immediately.
Yeah, and that's one of the if you installed MSN's new, I don't know, they've got this MSN desktop or something like that, and that'll index your hard drive for you, but it's not built-in component.
Second program.
Right.
Like Google Desktop.
Yeah, just like Google Desktop. If you have that installed and you do a search with Google on your desktop, it'll be fast and it'll find it. So it's nice, but I had it installed for a while, but I eventually said, I'm not a fan.
Yeah, it's visually annoying to me.
I found it to be the same.
Yeah.
So this is another one about Microsoft. If you have been watching the news at all this week or reading, I think I saw it in the paper even this week. I probably would have been yesterday's. Microsoft is releasing a new software product for a hardware product. It's called, and the actual computer is called Origami.
Right.
Now, what is it? It says, or I'll just read this article real quick. These days, you don't need to be a total geek to be walking around with a cell phone that plays MP3s or takes pictures, or a laptop, handheld game system, or some other high-tech device. Microsoft is betting on the fact that you will want to have a new one. One that combines many of the features of all the other gadgets. It's called Origami, and it's being introduced by the software company. It's a full-featured notebook computer that can also handle much of the digital age stuff people on business or pleasure would like to do. Microsoft says it doesn't expect sales to be that brisk, but the company hopes the idea will grow as more people have access to computers. So what this is it's about the size of a book,
right.
A smaller book. And we're not talking Shakespeare size. The complete works. We're talking a little bit bigger than your average Hardy Boys book, we'll say.
Right.
But bigger than the comic books you read, Kim. So it's this, and it's interesting because it's made by a couple people, a couple different manufacturers. But they were talking to them and they said, well, I mean, we've already got these iPods. We've already got, I mean, cell phones that can do all this. We've got all
ESPs,
these different devices.
Things like that.
Yeah, I mean, we've got all this. Why introduce another one? And one of the things that I was surprised with, and I'm not much in the marketing department. I don't understand all that stuff. But they did some research and some testing with some potential users. And one of the things that they found was that soccer moms were one of the groups of people that were not maybe quite as digitally up to date or could have used some sort of other device. They don't always want to use a PDA or, you know, they have a cell phone, but they find that a lot of times they're waiting, you know, 5-10 minutes here, 20 minutes there. You know, you're waiting to pick up your kid from soccer practice and the other kids at band and all these other things. And so what they found is that, you know, you got a few minutes to spare here. So this is one of those things that they thought, well, maybe they can use this to put, you know, come up with a different lists or tasks or scheduling and all these other functions. Ideally, you could check your email and do other things. Yeah, if it had web access, you know.
Online ebooks, things like that.
Yep. So that was one of their target markets. And like they said, and it's just really been, you know, over the last few years, it's really been cool to see how all this technology has been merging into different devices. I mean, you've got all these other ones. But for instance, these phones nowadays you can get aren't just phones. They've got cameras and all kinds of things on them, MP3 players and
gigabyte SD cards.
Yeah, all kinds of memory on it. So it's been kind of cool to see. I'm always, I don't know, I like to play with technology, of course, but I also don't like it to become too overwhelming. And I think that's what, if they can make this thing simple enough, I think it might be a nice thing.
It's true. Unfortunately, they have the wrong company name behind it if they want it to be simple.
Well, yeah, that's true a lot of times. Give us a call this morning. Our phone lines are open, 395-1450. You're listening to the Computer Guys here. Kevin's got the week off. It's 845. We've got another 15 minutes left in our show. We'll go ahead and take a look at an email here. This one is from one of our listeners. It says, hi, guys. Why is it that when I start my computer almost every day, a message comes up that my antivirus may not be active when it is, and the message almost always disappears after a few seconds?
Okay. The antivirus that you're running is probably...
No, it disappears.
Yep.
And it is active.
Well...
The message disappears.
The message disappears. What it is it's the Windows security alert coming on and saying that the antivirus hasn't loaded yet. And it gets this warning that the antivirus isn't active because it's after the security center in the boot.
So in other words, your antivirus is loading up after your security center is.
Correct.
But it sounds like the computer's fast enough so that it's not very far after.
Right.
Because your computer loads up a list of different services.
Right, a boot list.
And so before it loads the antivirus, it's loading up your security center. And so that's why I've seen it on a few computers, and it's really annoying. Mm-hmm. There's nothing that you can really do about that I know of. I'm sure that there is, but it's one of those things that's not enough of a hassle to change. And it's just that split second, all of a sudden you go, boop, oh, there's an error. What was that?
Right. I think Norton 2006 has fixed this.
It has.
Norton 2005 can still be caught doing it, and 2004 is probably the worst.
2004 was?
Yes. Yep.
Well, so, hopefully. You know, you think that they could fix that with some program updates, through Live Update?
They just have to wait. It's probably on Microsoft's end, actually.
But you think, well, Microsoft's got a lot of things that they're always fixing.
They should just check to make sure the directory is there first, and then check for Active Protection a little later. I think.
You think so?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I think it's a good thing right on startup. Somebody gets an error message that says your antivirus is out of date. Because otherwise,
it's a scary thing to see, though.
Well, yeah, but if you don't have antivirus, you're going to be poking around the internet.
Oh, that's fine.
Then you might have some problems.
If you don't have it, the message can be there, sure.
Well, we all know that is everything that we'd like. We may not always get right away.
I know.
Well, let's go ahead and take a phone call here, Cam. Good morning, John. You're on with the Computer Guys.
Yeah, I got a comment I'd like
to make. Oh, sorry, this is Jim. Sorry about that.
Yeah, I got a comment I'd like to make. I'd just like to make a shout-out to your audience that tomorrow will be Josh's 21st birthday.
Hey, what are we doing tonight?
We're going to be at 12, Josh.
All right.
Not doing anything crazy, if that's what you're wondering.
Well, we'll see about that.
Leave your address on the table.
Wow, that's pretty...
Happy birthday, Josh.
Thank you.
Yep.
Are you still there, Jim?
Yes.
Well, hey, thanks for that information. We do appreciate that.
Okay, thanks.
Hey, thanks.
Bye-bye.
All right, Josh. Well, now that we know that, we might have to do a little planning.
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
we'll take him down to the Irish pub.
And yeah.
No. Yep. Okay. Start him out. somebody called in to save him. Well, anyway, happy birthday to Josh. Almost.
Happy birthday, Josh. Almost. Yeah, that's right.
All right. Well, so we've answered that question with the antivirus. I'm just looking through the list here. Oh, man, we've got some of these errors and some of these emails. Might take a little longer to answer than we have time for in the air. Well, we've got some other news here, of course. Google is always in the news. They settled a lawsuit as far as...
That's right.
They only had to pay $90 million, so that's really not very much for Google.
Yeah.
Their stock dropped one penny because of it. Actually, their stock's been going down quite a bit. Yeah, I think it's around... 360 or right around there. So
no rocket ship has unlimited fuel. Just remember that.
Limited.
No rocket ship has unlimited.
Oh. Yeah. Unless it's a solar sail.
Yeah.
All right, let's take
Dave,
this next
you and
call.
Your technicalities.
Good morning, John. You're on with the computer guys.
Yeah, good morning. I bothered you earlier, and I hope I can bother you one more time.
Sure, no problem.
Well, thanks. I was able to save the favorites list from what information you gave me there.
Was it in there in the Windows directory?
Yes.
Excellent.
Under service.
Service.
Yeah, and that brought it up. I clicked on Windows and that it wouldn't save under the favorites itself, but under the service.
Hmm.
And then that favorites came up and asked me if I wanted to save it. So
okay.
So
excellent.
I tried, shutting it down and restarting it, and it's on the disk, so...
All right.
But the other question I have, my son is going to reinstall the operating system. I'm having so many problems with this computer, and he thinks that might help. And I'm wondering if there's a way I can save my Norton antivirus, if that can be reinstalled in the computer after that's done.
Did you buy it with... Did it come with a CD when you bought it?
I actually bought it from you.
Okay, then you should have gotten a CD with it then?
Yes.
And you're going to be taking that off this existing computer?
Yeah, he's going to reinstall a Millennium operating system.
With that license, it should be that you can just make sure you uninstall it from the... Well, you said you're going to be reloading Millennium?
Yes, my son is.
Yep, then that shouldn't be a problem if it's going to stay on the same computer.
If it stays on the same computer, how do they know that it's on the same computer?
They just know.
They know.
They know.
Yeah, they have a satellite somewhere that looks through the roof of your house and just knows.
Okay, that's great. Appreciate it.
Thanks
for all your time.
See ya.
Okay, thanks. Bye.
Bye.
Symantec Orbit 1 is what.
Poor John's going to be wearing a tinfoil hat now because of the UCAM.
That's right.
Oh, man. Well, what a day. Josh is going to be 21 tonight.
Josh is going to be 21.
Hey, here we go.
I'm excited. Dave, we're going to have fun tonight.
You know,
you guys wish.
We'll talk to you about it after the show, Josh.
It's an opportunity to party.
Well, I'll take you out for a beer.
Yeah,
sure we'll go downtown.
Yeah.
All right, here we go. This is in the news, and this is actually South Korean news, but I think it applies to Americans as well. So I thought it was interesting. Let's go ahead and take a look at this. Cyber violence concerns in South Korea. As the words of a popular rap song put it, "More money, more problems." When it comes to the internet in South Korea, the saying might be like, "More users, more problems." South Korea.
What was that, Dave?
I stumbled a little bit. South Korea is the world's most wired nation. And that's interesting because they have so many people live in apartments that it's a little bit easier. Apartment buildings. South Korea is the world's most wired nation, boasting of the highest per capita rate of broadband internet connection. But authorities are becoming concerned about those who use the net for more than just downloading music, maps, and other information. It's called cyber violence, and it can take the form of anything from online insults to sexual harassment and stalking people one meets online. The Korea Institute's Internet Safety Commission says complaints about such offenses more than doubled last year, and authorities are expanding their campaign against online harassers. In fact, they have filed their first case against internet users for comments made on a public feedback section of a website. So one of the problems, and this happens a lot, these teenagers, what are these sites called? MySpace.com and
MySpace,
Zynga.com.
Zynga, LiveJournal.
All these online places where people go and they post information, and it's, you know, the problem, and Cam,
they tell a lot of stuff too.
Well, first of all, they tell everything. They post
the
pictures,
names, everything.
Yeah, and so what happens is you've got at high schools, you know, you've already got your cliques of friends and groups and everything. So what happens are these teenagers go on there and they're posting their stuff. And if you have a bully at school, now they can follow you to the internet and they can bully you there.
Yeah.
Post comments and do everything else. So it kind of goes along with this cyber violence. I mean, you've got these kids, you know, who are getting picked on at school, and they go, they've got their online website and they're getting comments there and everything else. So it's, well, you know, you invent something cool and you get some bullies who ruin it. So, but I guess they've had some problems with that in South Korea as well. So not supposed to use the web for bullying other people.
Yeah, that's right.
So I remember when I was in high school, IRC was basically the only way of chatting. And there were bullies on there. But the problem was, it was the people, the bullies online were the ones who were being picked on at school. And the reason was is because they were smart enough to know how to mess with your computer when you were on IRC. And so it was actually the ones being picked on
that were getting back.
They were getting back. It was actually kind of funny.
Now they just made it way too easy for anyone to do it.
Like the joke, the nerds shall inherit the earth.
Yep. Yep.
So
through an instant messenger.
Yep. Well, I remember when I was in college, this before I was as knowledgeable as I am today, one of the guys in my dorm loaded a virus on my computer, was able to take over full control of my screen.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Did you go out and buy Norton?
No, I learned how to fix computers after that, though. That was actually my inspiration. I was so annoyed. I was so annoyed that somebody could do that to my computer.
Wow.
So, pretty crazy. Let's go ahead and take a look at this. Here we have an email. This is from one of our listeners. She says, when I go to the web, there appears a box, Internet Explorer script error. An error has occurred on the script on this page. Then it gives information about the error. Then, do you want to continue? And I press yes several times, and it leaves the screen. Does this have something to do with installing Norton? Any ideas how to remove this error?
Probably not something to do with installing a specific program, I would assume. If it's happening on one website, it could be a problem with that site. If it's...
And she says it's every time she opens Internet Explorer.
Every time she opens Internet Explorer, it could be a problem with her homepage. Her homepage could be hijacked.
But the question is also, does it do it on every page or just the homepage?
Right, correct.
If it's just the homepage, it could be a problem with the one that she set.
Every page, there could be an actual code script error, which can be fixed with a tool that I have.
It can also be fixed with Windows updates quite often, can it?
Yeah. Try that first.
So the first thing to do with this error is go to the site www.windowsupdate.com. And when you go there,
just
do the live or the Windows update. And
scan for updates.
Yep. And anything that windowsupdate.com finds is perfectly safe to install on your computer.
Right.
So I would say go ahead and run a Windows update. If that doesn't fix it... it'd be interesting to know, too, if it happens on every site. But
every site. If it's just one site, chances are it's only that site, and it's not your computer itself.
But oh,
the internet.
Speaking of the need for a Windows update, did you see my latest Apple product that I have?
No, we didn't. What's that?
The iPod Video. Have you guys actually seen this in person?
I have
not.
You haven't seen you have seen it in person. Well, if Cam hasn't, because I think you guys were talking about how you didn't think you could really see anything with it. You can, and it's really cool. So anyways.
What's the resolution of the screen, Josh?
I don't know the specs of the resolution, though.
Because I found something, because our phones have a 320 by 320 resolution.
Well, check that out. Does it look like that?
That's a 7 by 12.
That's, what?
He's got Conan O'Brien on here.
Yeah, what? It was funny.
I know, I like Conan.
All right, good.
Well, because one of the things is, I think that's the same resolution as our phone. And our phone does not have a video player, but they've released a third-party one now. You can watch movies on here.
Really?
And so I've got a 1 gig card in there, so I could load up.
All right, that's nice.
Yeah,
it's kind of cool.
You can see anything. I mean, people think that it's so small you can't see anything, but it's...
You're not going to want to watch 3 hours of The Godfather.
Well,
in there, though.
Okay, no, maybe not. But some episodes of some things would be all right. You know, it's funny. You guys were talking about the thing about me turning 21.
Yep.
Yeah. And I think if all my plans go right tonight, I am actually going to wind up at a bar and grill.
Very good.
But not for that though. It was somebody I wanted to see performing. But it's funny that I would end up there and.
You're going to wake up with no shirt somewhere.
My pants will be on backwards or something. Yeah, who knows?
Well, you never know. Well, the...
Beer on your face.
drool on my face.
Just don't stay out too late. You got church in the morning.
That's true.
Oh, Josh. Well, the one other thing I wanted to talk about here was seeing Conan on there. It reminds me of this article right here. The Daily Show is going to have an iTunes debut, so you'll be able to download some stuff from iTunes with The Daily Show.
Is Jon Stewart still doing it?
As far as I know, yeah, Jon Stewart.
Very good.
Wasn't it Conan O'Brien doing that before?
No, it was some other guy.
I can't remember anyone. Well, that song means it's the end of the computer, guys. We'll be back next week. Thanks for our callers and those who emailed us as well. You couldn't get through, you can call us during the week. We are Macatawa Technologies, south side of Holland, Michigan, 49423 as the zip code there. 833 Maple Avenue. It's behind Airway Oxygen. Give us a call, 394-4940. We'll be back next week.
Listening to another hour of the Holland area's news and information station, 1450 WHTC, Holland's hometown station.